Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
SiriusXM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
What up, everyone? This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, 10-year NFL defensive lineman, Lijay Dusable, with my teammates, 15 years covering the Dolphins as a beat writer, NFL columnist, Omar Kelly, and the former player for the San Diego Chargers, which are the LA Chargers now, and Kansas City Chiefs, and was a Pro Bowler with the Chargers at the cornerback position, Brandon Flowers. How you guys doing, man?
Deuce, what's going on, baby?
Man, can't complain, man. We got a really, really big show tonight. It looks like Jimbo Fisher is backpedaling his comments and feelings about his former boss, Nick Saban. Maybe time truly does heal all wounds. We'll discuss that. And it looks like our former teammate, Chad Johnson, a.k.a. Ocho Cinco, could be getting back in the boxing ring. Could be a possibility. But first, we'd like to send our condolences to Mary and Barbara's friends and family. The former Dallas and Chicago running back was found dead in his apartment in Frisco, Texas. And literally, guys, I was talking about this off camera. I was like, damn, what is happening to our fraternity? Right. This is crazy. We just saw, you know, Gladney yesterday pass away in a car accident. Mary and Barbara, Dwayne Haskins. It's sad, man.
I've always known the off season, the months between May and July are when all the drama starts happening in the league and to all the players, because I've always had this theory that because, you know, when the season starts and training camp begins, your life is technically over. Your freedom becomes all about football. So you try to fit as much in as you possibly can in that month from the time you wrap OTAs to the time you report to training camp. But also when we're talking about Marion Barber, who'd been retired for a couple of years, one of my biggest theories is that 3-year stretch when you're retiring and the life that you've had and built up and worked towards to have your 10-year career and have how many years?
On 10, I retired.
Yeah, 10. Mm. So we got 2 double digits to have that 10-year career. And all of a sudden, whether you voluntarily left or they closed the door on you, the question of what next, what now? Yeah. All of a sudden it's, you know, your kids are staring you at the face and you got to go pick them up and take them to school. And, you know, and is that enough? And your wife is like, she's tired of you in her face all the time. And you need to go find a hobby. And, you know, you're missing the locker room. And that leads to a lot of depression, a lot of divorce, 100%. A lot of depression.
Yeah, it's important that you said that, right? Because I've had some friends that played in the league that have dealt with some issues since retiring from the game. And Brandon Flowers, you know this, man, when you've literally, since some would say the age of 5 or 6, have had a set schedule of what your, you know, football career is and your school is. And then when you go to college, what your football schedule in, you know, school is. And then when you get to the NFL, it's mainly just football, right? You know that for 6 months of the year, you're going to be up there with the team, not with your family as much. You probably see your family, what, 2 or 3 hours a day. If you have kids, you might see them right before they go to bed because you're getting out of practice 6 or 7 o'clock. And then during the off season, you know, you're training to get ready to do it all over again for 6 months. But when, you know, the game is, you know, taken away from you or you retire, it's like a shock to your system. It's a shock to anybody's system. And we've seen numerous guys struggle, you know, once they left the game. Like a good friend of mine, Demaryius Thomas, who we lost not too long ago, he was having issues with, you know, walking away from the game and figuring out what to do next. Des Bryant was talking about Marion Barber, you know, a year ago. There was this famous play when Marion Barber, and if anybody knows, he's one of them old school running backs, right? Runs with physicality. You're going to feel it when you tackle him. I remember there was a play, I believe, versus the New England Patriots years ago. It was like the greatest 2 yard gain I ever seen in my football career. Like, this dude was tackled in the backfield, broke like three or four tackles, shrugged about three or four defenders off and gained 2 yards. But that was just the way he played. And Des Bryant actually talked about that play on Twitter a year ago. And he said, as I watched this video and me knowing exactly how Marion Barber life is going right now today is why I built Personal Corner at Personal Corner. I can't even enjoy it because he's down and out and bad. And we are just a stat in moments to most people. So, you know, it's just tough. Go ahead.
And like you said, dude, it's like, that's our fraternity, man. So if something happens to somebody in the NFL, like, we really feel it because that's our brothers. And we just always say, or we always wish we would have checked in on this person and checked on that person, because we don't realize sometimes that, and we don't know what was the cause of his death because it just happened.
Exactly.
But just speaking in general.
Yeah.
When you're in a locker room every day, you can talk about your problems. You got your boys to talk about everything that's going on.
But are you really having a conversation about you going through a divorce?
You do.
You actually talk about life. You talk about everything,
like your boys in the locker room, those are your therapists. You'll sit in the sauna or the cold tub and talk 100%. About everything about what's going on in life.
I did not know this.
If you don't, I'm telling you, like.
So it's therapeutic when you know, and that's the thing. It's a safe. That's why we try to create this safe space here. We call this a locker room because it's the same field. Like, there's numerous times Shady could tell you, me and him, when we were in the cold tub on Saturday, because that was the only day I could get him to get in there, like, we talked about everything but football. Exactly. Honestly, right? We're not talking about football in the locker room. That's what we have meeting rooms for. Like, this is how we decompress and get away. Because, you know, a lot of teammates have, you know, two or three kids, may have a wife or not, and they're just dealing with a lot off the field. So, like, when you have those opportunities in the sauna, you know, in the cold tub, in the hot tub, you just want to talk about life. And to Brandon, you know, Flowers' point, like, I think about this constantly. Like, when I saw Bebe, is what we call him, Demaryius Thomas, I saw him at the Super Bowl in Atlanta. I think it was 2018. And I hadn't talked to him in a minute. We used to train together every summer. And I was like, Bebe, man, you know what? I got to keep up with you, bro. I got to do a better job. And he was like, yeah, man, we got to stay up with each other. And I didn't follow through on that. And I'll never get to do that again. And that affects me to this day because, again, this is a fraternity, man. Like, there's only a select few people, human beings, that can do what we do on the football field. So I feel like we're just losing too many of our brothers in this fraternity. And speaking of other athletes speaking out, you know, about maybe, you know, depression or mental health, not to say that Marion Barber is dealing with that because we don't know what the cause of his death is yet. But Tyler Lockett, you know, tweeted, you know, today, 2 years out of my 7 years in the NFL thus far, I played through depression and anxiety and almost quit and had my best year. I played through trauma another year and had my best year. More of the story, just keep going. You never know what's waiting on the other side. And, you know, that's a testament on him pushing through. But also, we also got to be comfortable with letting people know that we're not all right.
Yeah.
Right. That's the biggest thing. And, you know, we're always, as athletes, taught to be warriors, right? You know, suck it up, get over it, you know, keep pushing through. But that's not the answer, man. You got to be able to talk to somebody and talk through things and figure out, you know, football isn't the only thing in life. It's not the end all be all.
Well, go ahead. It's funny that you mentioned that because I remember when Brandon Marshall was coming out in terms of saying and acknowledging to the world, hey, I have a mental health issue and it's called borderline personality disorder. And I want to be the face of mental health. My initial response to him when he told me what his plan was don't do it.
Why was that?
Because I didn't think becoming the face of mental health in the prime of your career was a wise choice because everybody's going to stigmatize you, even though they don't even know what borderline personality disorder is. They're going to be like, oh, he's bipolar. You see how he acts. No matter what he did, I felt like it was going to be tied to him. But Brandon proved me wrong and has shown the world that, hey, all of us go through things. All of us have growth that we need to do. All of us need to speak to somebody. 100%. And if you look at I think athletes are doing a phenomenal job of showing the public the way. You know how many conversations about mental health I have with my boys nowadays? Like, that's literally all we talk about. Like, what we're going through. Bro, you could talk to me. Like, you know, you good? I just got a text from my best friend. Like, you good? You know, because... Yeah. And these are important things. And you know, as you guys know, as in the Black community, you know, you got something going on. You need to go to church. You need Jesus. Mm, yeah. You know, you got to give it to the Lord.
Or barbershop. You go to the barbershop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When, I'm sorry, but it's important to speak to a trained professional.
100%.
That can help you navigate some of your thoughts, some of your emotions, some of your feelings. And now it's less stigmatized because athletes like Brandon Marshall and Love and, you know, hell, look at Ben Simmons, yeah. And, you know, everybody, you know, everybody's coming out and they're saying, hey, I'm not okay. I'm going through something. And Lord knows y'all NFL players, boy, y'all be going through it.
Yeah, we're humans just like everybody else. I want to bring in our producer, Evan. I know he had some comments about everything we're talking about right now.
Yeah, so I just, you know, the information surrounding Barber's death is minimal right now, but Clarence Hill over at the Fort Worth Star-Telegram posted a story saying he's got a quote from a Frisco police spokesperson saying, "Officers are currently out on a welfare concern, but we are unable to provide any further comment at this time." So they haven't formally confirmed it yet through law enforcement, but Clarence, who's an excellent reporter, he has multiple sources that have confirmed it. And I know Josina Anderson is also confirming it. So Marion Barber was only 38 years old. He played in the NFL for 7 seasons, 6 of those with the Cowboys. And he was famously one of the featured stars on Hard Knocks when they featured the Dallas Cowboys one of those years. So, you know, a very obviously famous, and he was a Pro Bowler 2007. And it's a tragedy. We don't know, again, what caused his death, but when that's reported, you know,
In 2014, according to Clarence's story, that Barber had some mental health issues and was evaluated and this is, you know, it's an ongoing story that he had been struggling with some issues and people in the Cowboys community were concerned.
Yeah. I mean, you saw what Dez tweeted out. So yeah. He was like, he couldn't even enjoy the highlights of this man doing what he loved to do because he knew he was down and out. And to Brandon's point, man, you got to check on your strong friends.
You have to
check on your people, man.
I can tell you this. It's throughout the course of my career, there was a Pro Bowl player, you know, guy with the Dolphins that I don't want to say his name, but, you know, I learned after his playing career was over, he was going through some stuff and it got to and was trying to reach out and communicate with me, but wasn't making much sense. Yeah. And I was like, you know, hey, we got to get this guy some help. Yeah. And team tried and, you know, he shut off the world. And, while it's important to say we got to get these guys some help, they have control over whether or not they can receive it or not, or whether or not they welcome it. And as many people tried to show him love and bring him back to, you know, help him deal with what he was going through. He I don't know what happened to him, but, you know, there's struggles out there.
Yeah.
Do you think this is a situation where the NFL do need to step in because the numbers are getting so high where they have a program when you're retired, we're going to have somebody with the last ball club you played for or whoever you retired with, they're going to check on you. Even if you might lie to them and tell them you're okay, but we're going to start reaching out to you because we really want to get these numbers down and we want to address this mental health issue and make sure it doesn't, because it's not just affecting the players. Yeah, you're seeing guys who's killing their whole families and it's affecting, even if they, I'm not saying this happened with Barbara, but people that do commit suicide or Julian said, whatever happened to anybody, it affects not just them. It affects their family.
100%.
It affects the fraternity, the league. It affects everyone. So yeah. I think this is something that.
And it's great that you mentioned that because I know it's the NFL Legends or NFL PA. I think they do a brain and body function type thing. And I encourage everybody that retire to get it done, maybe get it done every 5 years. I actually just recently got mine done last year because I just wanted to make sure my mental, my brain, everything was intact.
Oh, you sharp, good. You sharp dudes. You sharp.
We played 10 years. Yeah. You know, so I played in D-line in the trenches. So you just always want to make sure. And I know it's scary for NFL players to do this, but I felt like I needed to do this. Just to your point, right? I have loved ones, right? I just want to make sure everybody's good. I'm good. So I encourage any NFL player. It's free for any NFL player to do it. You know, get the brain and body function, you know, thing assessment done once you retire.
I will say this. I will say there should be a baseline exam when you come in as a rookie to know if there's any wear and tear. Because if they do
a baseline,
they supposedly do a baseline.
It's kind of like, you know. You have to be honest, but it's not as in-depth as the one post-career. You know, you have to have a baseline to the same test that you're doing. I think that's an important conversation.
Why are they not getting the post-career evaluation at the beginning of their career? I think that's a good conversation.
It's 100% a good conversation. Like, there should be, as Brandon said, a baseline.
They don't want to know their damage.
To what you were as a rookie, than what you are when you're leaving the game, because obviously some things have changed. There's no way you have that much contact and things don't change within your brain, within your body, period. And like, it shouldn't just be for brain, it should be for your whole body.
Yeah,
like, you know, the difference between when you came in as a rookie, spry, and once you leave the game. You're making a face.
I'm thinking to myself from the NFL. You know how they fighting y'all already on concussions and you know, they don't want proof and evidence that they jacking y'all up.
But I think that's saving them too, because what if you have a baseline where it says, hey, we check you every year. You just come in. If you get to a certain point, like, yo, we got to come talk, because now we're starting to see some player,
I'm not
damage.
Participating in that. And now well,
you're looking at the thing. You got to be honest.
Yeah, then now you got to sign a contract that's saying, well, you can't sue or you can't ask for any money after. If you opting out of this where you don't want us to examine you, then you can't
go for that. The PA is probably going
to I'm not letting you examine me so you can use it for another way to shake me down. Pay me less and justify putting a younger, cheaper player in my spot. Like, I'm not doing that.
I think
it's trust.
Yeah.
And you know, y'all don't trust the NFL.
No.
Yeah,
I think it has to be trust on both sides, but I also think like players have to be honest with themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a hard thing for us to do, right? We don't want to potentially go to a team and say, I'm having issues, because like, to your point, Omar, if I got a family I got to take care of, like, I don't want them to use that against me and pay me either less money or cut me, and now I can't, you know, can't provide for my family. So I mean, it comes down to you knowing what's best for your well-being, and again, right, you want to go out there and make a living for your family, but you also want to be around for your family. So to me, that's the most important thing. So we just want to give condolences again to Marion Barber and his family, gone way too soon at the age of 38. It's just a sad situation. We got to stop losing our fraternity brothers.
Busted Open is your daily home for all things pro wrestling. Join Dave LaGreca, WWE Hall of Famers Bully Ray and Mark Henry, and hardcore wrestling legend Tommy Dreamer.
Dave LaGreca here. From WWE to AEW, Impact, New Japan, Ring of Honor, and more, we talk it all. Whether you grew up watching Ric Flair or Stone Cold Steve Austin, Busted Open is your place for pro wrestling.
Busted Open, Mondays through Saturdays at 9 a.m. East on Fight Nation, Sirius XM Channel 156.
I was telling everybody, three of my former teammates, the Jets, yes, I love the Jets, are going into the Jets Ring of Honor. That's Darrell Revis, the corner, Nick Mangold, the center, DeBrickusoff Ferguson, the offensive tackle. Now, Mangold and DeBrickusoff Ferguson were taken in the first round in 2006. And just a year later, the Jets traded up to get their lockdown corner and Darrell Revis. And these three guys were pivotal in the 2009 and 2010 season when the Jets made their runs to back-to-back AFC championship games. So Nick Mangold has released a statement following the news that he would be in the Ring of Honor. And this is what he said. He said, thank you so much. This is awesome and amazing since it's with two of my guys. Revis, it was outstanding just being on the team with you. Your presence was amazing. To share this honor with you is awesome. Brick, we started this together back in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl. And now we close it up together. That's very special to me and something that is an awesome thing. Congratulations, you two. I feel like I'm the third wheel here, so I appreciate you guys letting me in. My thoughts on all three of these guys making it to the Ring of Honor, you know, being a former Jet and being the team I most associate myself with. These three guys epitomize what being a Jet is, right? They were, again, pivotal in that run in 2009 and 2010. I had the blessings and pleasure to be teammates with all three of these guys. Revis, when he came back after he was traded to Tampa Bay, then went to New England and came back to the New York Jets in 2015. And then the Brickishaw and also and Nick Mangold, I was their teammate for 4 years since 2013. So all these guys, man, again, I think they all have potential to be and can. I know Revis will be for sure. I think Mangold gets in his second, maybe third time. Brick is the one guy that's going to probably be on the outside looking in, but I think potentially he has a chance to get into. This guy was an Ironman. Like, he didn't miss any game. I don't believe he missed. The only time he missed one snap, it was for like a fake play or something, Omar. Like, he is the epitome of an Ironman, showing up every day, game in and game out, had those long arms, and just used to lock on to defenders. And Nick Mangold was a dominant center for so many years, like played with a lot of power, one of the smartest guys I've been around. And Darrell Revis, just to put this into perspective, because I tease that, to me, he can go down as the best corner to ever play the game. Let's just look at his 2009 season, Omar. Darrell Revis, and this is with notable receivers he held under 35 yards. Andre Johnson for the Houston Texans, who to me should potentially get into the Hall of Fame. Randy Moss, who will get in the Hall of Fame.
He held him in the Hall of Fame.
That's right. He just got in. He held Randy Moss to 35 yards or less twice that season. Marquise Colston, Terrell Owens, who's in the Hall of Fame. He played him twice, held him under the 35 yards. Torrey Holt has a chance to get into the Hall of Fame, held him under 35 yards. Steve Smith, who should be in the Hall of Fame, and I think he will get into the Hall of Fame, held him to under 35 yards. Reggie Wayne, who I think potentially will get into the Hall of Fame. What's your feeling on that, Omar?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he held him to under 35 yards. And then our teammate, Chad Ochocinco, and we know, you know, if you have
deserving of being in the Hall of Fame.
He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And Revis actually did an episode with I Am Athlete Miami, and they kind of kidded about that when Revis was playing against Chad Johnson, because I think he played him not only during the regular season, but in the playoffs too, and strapped him up twice. So that season, Darrell Revis had all those receivers under 35 yards. I'm talking about strapping guys up.
He's no question the first ballot Hall of Fame.
Six interceptions that year and 31 pass breakups.
And should be in the Hall of Fame for setting an example about being about your business.
Businessman. Tuan, you talk about business. This guy was a businessman. The most money possible. I mean, this dude literally, how many deals did he go through? Probably like seven or eight in his career.
Yeah.
Because he was always going back to the table. Like, I need some.
Yeah. When you get the Patriots to pay you, you know you good.
You know you real. The only corners he's ever played was Darrell Revis
and
Stephon Gilmore. Both of those are my guys, both former teammates.
Ty Law, he probably paid him too.
He may have, but not like he paid Steph. I mean, the times are different too. But
yeah,
like
yeah,
paid
yeah.
Revis
yeah.
And Steph, but yeah. Like,
they thought that was a lot of money back then too.
Yeah, 100%, man. But
$4 million? Wait a minute here. $4 million?
But what's your thought on you guys going to the ringer? Because I know you know been covering the Miami Dolphins. So the Jets are in the same division, and you've seen these guys up close and personal.
Props to them. Those were three elite players in their era. Now, Revis is without a doubt a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He better be first ballot.
Yeah,
Hall
I mean, Revis might have made two all decade teams. No, I don't think he played. He only made one decade. He only played 10 years.
He played 11. But it would have been hard for him to make that the 2010 through 2020 season.
Yeah,
because he was hurt 1 year.
No. Actually, 2010 to 2020 might be the time he made it. He made it.
He was good enough in those 3 years to make the previous ones.
Yeah, he was. The biggest concern that I have is you said they might be Hall of Fame players, and I think you might have a little bit of Regency bias.
I could be, but I honestly think I think they are. I think Nick's gonna get in for sure.
I don't know if Marquise Pouncey gets in, and I think Marquise was a better player than Nick. It's a healthy debate.
Yeah, 100%.
The Brickshaw Ferguson, I would say probably he's got a legitimate chance, but
he's on the outside looking in for sure.
Yeah, he's on the outside looking in, but it comes down to, you know, who's voting for you, and you know how I don't believe in that whole Hall of Fame process. I think more players need to be involved as opposed to, you know, and I sound crazy saying this
because I'm a
media member, but for media members to be the gatekeepers, man, yes. Y'all are crazy. Yeah, these people have so many biases and agendas. And
yeah. So, Tuan, like, I think we maybe have talked about this before, but if we haven't, like, for the NBA, like, it's mainly media guys voting. Like, how do you feel about that? Should it be more players involved? I know that people have always said that it's hard to involve players because guys have favoritism and they're going to want to vote their boy in. But that's why I think it should be guys that aren't Hall of Famers that vote, like guys that had really good careers, right? That know they're not Hall of Famers and who you would think could not be biased, right? I think some of those players should actually have a vote. What do you think, Swan?
I do believe players can vote, and I think players would be harder than actual writers as far as getting in. I think, you know, especially players that have played the game that know how good this player is and know, you know, when you play against certain guys, you know. If Allen Iverson is, and Steph Curry, you know who's better. You know what I'm saying? I'm just throwing a couple of names out. You know who's better.
Hold on, wait a minute, Tor. I just dropped something. Yeah, now. Hey, wait a minute here.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know that.
Hey, hold on, wait a minute. So who is better, Twan?
I'm not getting into that no more. It goes back to the conversation we had last week on a couple shows where we were talking about Steph being in the top 10 of all time and stuff like that. Obviously, I don't know, you don't actually vote on that, but when people have certain opinions of that, those are hard. I think players can help make that this decision better, especially when you talk about certain guys should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but
I just think it, you know what I mean? You got to get some players, but everybody thinks all the players are going to be biased because that's their boy or not their boy. I don't think so. I think players, if you gave some guys some real, that's their real job, they're going to be honest and open and be like, yo, this guy deserved to be in there. Yeah, well, this guy doesn't deserve it. I think they were.
He said media guys are way more biased.
Of course. I mean, you guys just mentioned it. T.O. How's he not?
How the hell is he not first ballot?
Oh, they were punishing him.
They were punishing
him.
The media does that all the time.
He made it second year.
Okay.
He should have made it first. That was absurd. But, you know, I had teased that I thought Revis could go down as the best corner. And it was because I saw the way he worked day in and day out. I mean, quick story for you guys in practice. This dude was ultra competitive. One of the strongest guys I know, too. For cornerback, that's usually unheard of. But he used to put straps on dudes, and they couldn't get off the line of scrimmage. So in one-on-ones, especially in training camp, Omar knows this, it gets testy. One-on-one pass rush for O-line and D-line, and one-on-one for receivers and DBs. It gets really testy.
First day of pads. I promise you it's going to be a fight.
Darrell Revis was so special that he would line up against all the starting receivers and even the second teamers back-to-back-to-back without taking any breaks. And literally strap all them up and have them all pissed off.
Antoine, that's
and they couldn't do anything about it.
I don't know if you understand that's doing it back to back to back, which means you just ran 40 yards,
you come right back,
ran back, and then run another 40 yards, and then run right back.
It wasn't 40 yards because they wasn't getting off the line of scrimmage, Omar.
Wow,
it was that serious. Yeah, that he's special. Like I've never seen anything like the real Revis on the
field. So he's better than Deion.
I'm saying, I love Deion.
No. You want to put me on the spot? Who's better?
Over Deion. I love Deion, but I'm taking Revis over Deion.
Are you trying to say Deion is more marketing than Revis is production? Nah, what are you trying to say?
Deion was highly productive. You're not going to have me say that. Not going to have me say that. Both are great in their own being, but if I had to pick one, I'm taking Darrell Revis. I could be a little biased.
I might actually agree with you because you know the Deion was an elite player and an elite talent.
Yeah.
But let's not act like he didn't have his focus divided.
Mm.
And
what do you mean by that?
He played baseball too.
That's true.
And so I'm sorry, you playing baseball all week and showing up for the game on Sunday. Did I get your ultimate potential?
That's a good point.
I mean, this might get back to
Deion. Don't be mad at us, man. We love you, Deion.
but that's the gift. That was the gift, though. That was the gift.
That was the gift. Yeah.
Hi, everyone. I'm Hall of Fame sportscaster Leslie Bissett. And if you love sports the way I do, the people, the passion, then you'll enjoy my podcast, In Conversation, every Thursday. I've drawn from 45 years of covering all sports with people like Billie Jean King and David Duchovny and the merry prankster himself, Bill Walton.
I have reached the top of the mountain. I am having a conversation with Leslie Visser, my hero.
So please listen and subscribe wherever you stream your podcasts.
In the California Road Trip Republic, we believe you take adventure for a ride. Whether coastal cruising, mountain motoring, or redwood roaming, discover beauty around every turn. Your California road trip can kick off from anywhere.
Starting route.
But it should always start at visitcalifornia.com. Then buckle up, crank those tunes, and ride with us in the California Road Trip Republic.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT. Savory breakfast burrito or mouth-watering cheeseburger, something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a bread head. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co. With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Cash.
This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lee J. Doolsbo, with my teammates Omar Kelly and Brandon Flowers. We switch over to the NBA, and it seems like Kevin Durant and Draymond Green are back at it again. Now, the Golden State Warriors are prepared for their 6th NBA Finals appearance in 8 seasons, and the former champion and teammate of Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, kind of has a love-hate relationship with him. So on Tuesday, Kevin Durant tweeted at Green's comments that Steph Curry faced double teams at a higher rate during the NBA Finals than he did was 100% false. So here are, you know, Draymond Green's original comments as he appeared on Colin Cowherd's podcast.
Kevin Durant was absolutely incredible in those finals runs. As you know, you watched it. We all watched it. Kevin Durant was absolutely insane. Steph Curry got double teamed probably 7 times the amount that KD did in a given series. So when you watch those games and you say, his numbers could be a little down. He's facing a double team. And by the way, this isn't a double team from the Orlando Magic. This is a double team from a team that's playing in the finals. This is elite teams throwing elite defenders at guys. And yet the guy will still average. I'm not sure what his finals average is, but I'd be willing to bet my bottom dollar is north of 23 points. And so the impact that he has on the game, if you don't understand basketball, not understand a stat sheet, if you don't understand basketball, which most people don't in your space, then yeah, you're going to come out and you're going to say he needs to validate that by finals MVP, because that's all you can see. Wow. You then go and you say, oh man, this guy won finals MVP. That must be the guy who's doing X, Y, and Z. But if you can analyze the game and see, that's when I say new media. That's where I feel like this space is going awry. No one analyzes the game anymore. That's a lost skill. And if you have the potential or if you're capable of analyzing a game, then under no circumstances are you going to say Steph Curry need a finals MVP to validate who he is.
I want to know first and foremost, before we continue this conversation, how the hell did my Orlando Magic catch a stray? And then he kind of gave one to Colin Cowherd, right? He was like, people like you don't understand the intricacies of breaking down film. But that boy was just at stray here. Kevin Durant caught a stray. The Magic caught a stray. He just gave a straight bullet to everybody.
In general, yeah.
Listen, I will say he kind of have a point.
He does have a point about that. But why Magic got to catch a stray?
He was not. Steph Curry was not doubled 7 times more than Durant.
But this is what I say.
Did you see the film, Omar?
That's what I'm saying. He's on the court. So when he said, when you dive into the game and you know the analytics, like, I don't know that. He plays basketball. Yeah. So he knows, like, it might not have looked like a double team, but the way the spacing was, like, he can say, trust me, he was double team. It's almost like if Aaron Donald only get one sack and Von Miller got four sacks, like, oh, everybody gonna Von, say yeah, Von Miller went up. But it's like, bro, they got three offensive linemen on Von. Y'all wouldn't Rogers. Pay attention to that because y'all just looking at the sack. But if y'all break sacks. Down film, every play, Aaron Donald's getting hit and y'all thinking his play is going down and this and that. So when he's talking about going inside the lines and people don't dissect inside the lines, I say he has a point there. Now, as far as Kevin Durant catching the stray, yeah, everybody
that's a different story. Definitely caught a stray, and I took offense for Durant
for the Slim Reaper.
I took offense for Durant because that was an unnecessary. You could cape for your present team, man.
Yeah,
and I respect that. And we're talking about his legacy, which this series is probably going to define.
Yeah, this is where all this stems from. It's does you know Steph Curry need to win a Finals MVP?
Because people like Antoine Walker over here, you know, putting disrespect on Steph Curry's name.
I think if you win, saying
okay,
it.
Yeah. Durant, you know, Durant, you got to take away from his legacy.
Kevin Durant.
Because of Durant. So, I would, you know, we all know Durant's sensitive.
and you got to understand the relationship, too. He loved, like, Draymond loves Curry. That's 100%. His guy. That's his guy. That's getting him championships.
Probably got beef.
Beef. So it's like if you dissect that, it's like Durant. I respect you, but you got to catch this straight. This is my boy right here. Like, yeah, you got the MVP, but you know we kind of got this going on. You can catch this all day, Curry. What's up? Like, I think if you dive into it a little bit more, like he kind of wanted to throw that straight out.
Yeah,
there.
And to me, I don't think Steph Curry needs to do anything else to solidify his legacy. But I think if he does win the finals, the NBA finals, and the finals MVP, I think a discussion has to be had of him potentially being a top 10 player in the NBA history.
I would ask you this. If he wins another championship this year, he got as much rings as LeBron. If he gets the six, which he can, do you put him in the MJ category?
That's a good discussion.
I don't know. He's lost it's too many tough. Finals.
You know what? We're going to discuss that when we get back. We're going to discuss that because that Brandon Flowers brought up a really good point. We're talking about Steph Curry beef flow. Actually, Brandon Flowers asked a really good question. If Steph Curry is able to get over the hump this year, wins a ring, and wins one to two more, do you technically put him in, you know, Michael Jordan, LeBron, James stratosphere? And he made some compelling points. So I'm going to go ahead and give you the mic and let you explain that, B-Flow.
This is why I say you have to put Steph Curry in that category.
Kevin Durant in there.
This is why you got to put Steph Curry in that category. Because he's going to win four championships, right? I got them winning this finals.
I got Boston winning this one.
You have just as many rings as LeBron right now, who they comparing Jordan to as the GOAT. Mm-hmm. And if he can get to five and six, which I think he should, because Golden State, they have a great foundation. Yeah. And even if he's not the guy that got to score 35 a game, he's a shooter. His game is not going to leave. Even if he comes off the bench in 5 years and be a six man, like a, you know, just like a shooter, like Ray Allen, he still is going to be beneficial. He can still be part of a big three for some team, even if he's the third guy. So right now, when he's in his prime and he's the best guy on the team and he's getting this fourth ring and he's not losing as many finals as LeBron right now. Oh. He only lost one finals and that was to LeBron.
And shouldn't have lost that one.
And he shouldn't have lost that. That's when Draymond went out. It's like a compelling category. He already has the title as the best shooter ever to put on his back as a label. I mean, how can you not put that comparison there? He didn't switch teams. Before I give it to you, he didn't switch teams.
I love that about him.
He stayed there. Where he got drafted at, made it work there, was the best player.
Turned the franchise around.
Turned it around.
Yeah.
Listen, one, we always forget about Kobe in this conversation. We jumped from LeBron to Jordan. I'm sorry, in between LeBron and Jordan, there's Kobe.
Kobe got five. Two without Shaq.
Two different generations. Exactly. Two different eras.
Put some respect on the being name, man.
But, you know, I will acknowledge that last week, Antoine Walker kind of threw a monkey wrench into my thought process on Steph Curry being a top 10 player in the NBA. I was making the argument that I would replace Larry Bird with Steph Curry
if he won this ring
into that top 10 conversation.
And Antoine was like, well, I don't even put him over Isaiah Thomas because he doesn't even play. He's not a complete player.
He doesn't affect the game besides shooting.
He's the best. Yeah. He's the best shooter in NBA history, but that's all. Mm.
To me, it's not all because the way he shoots the ball, it opens the floor up so 100%, much. So 100%. That's how he get his teammates better. He opened the floor up so much, and he can get to the cup if he want to. Mm-hmm. Because of how the defense is playing them. And then the
crazy handles, too.
Crazy besides handles.
Kyrie, probably
crazy
the best handles in the game.
But he get
you don't
cooked,
agree with
he
that?
On
Kyrie?
Defense. Yeah,
but that's the issue. So if you look at the guys in the top 10, for most people's top 10, they affected the game on the offense and defensive side. You talk about a Bill Russell. You talk about a Kobe Bean Bryant. You talk about Michael Jordan, LeBron James,
Will
Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, they affected the game offensively. And even Larry Bird, I think, had three first-team all-defenses 3 years. So, I mean, they affect the game on both sides of the ball. So that was, Antoine's argument. And before that, I was like, how could you not put Steph Curry in the discussion if he wins the fourth ring? But then when he put that out there, I was like, it kind of makes sense.
But are we not going to throw in that the game has changed? Back then, you did play both ends, and it was always a 84 to 82 game. Like, nobody's really playing defense. The score is always in the 110s and 120s, but that's his special. That's what he does. That's
Marcus Smart play defense.
Jason Tatum plays defense. Yes.
But do they play both ways? That's all they do is play defense. They don't play in scores. Maybe only three.
Tatum during his playoffs is locked in on both sides of the ball.
Man, Tatum is all right.
You got three players. You have three players, maybe four, maybe that'll play offense and defense throughout the whole league in the past couple years. So the game has just evolved, and that much emphasis isn't put on a defensive player. And look at his statue. He's not 6'6" that can sit down. He can't sit down in the paint and play defense. That's that's his weakness. Well, every player got a weakness. That's just his weakness.
What about his steals? What about
you? He's one of the best. I think he's always in the top as far as steals per game. So he's crafty. I'm not saying he's sometimes a liability on defense because he's smaller. Guys are able to back him down, but he's real crafty. He knows how to steal the ball. I actually want to bring in our producer, Anthony, because he has been batting the table for Steph Curry going into the top 10. So what do you feel about B-Flo's argument and adding Steph Curry in there? I know you're happy about that.
No, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, like, Stephen Curry is, as you said, like, the best shooter that's ever played in the NBA. But the one counter argument, I'll go against myself a little bit here to what B-Flo just mentioned. We can never say that Stephen Curry was the most dominant player in the season. We could say that about Jordan. We could say that about Kobe. We could say that about LeBron. We could say that about Shaq. The people that are in the top five, Will Chamberlain, I'll go down the line. We can never say that Stephen Curry was the most dominant player.
I could water down your argument by saying that nobody that you had that's in this conversation had a more complete team. I mean, maybe Larry Bird had a really good team.
He had a great team.
Yeah, I mean, Larry Bird and the Lakers, you know, they were a phenomenal team. But, you know, Steph Curry has a great team.
Excellent.
But the thing is, those dudes were drafted there. It wasn't like they went and spent in free agency.
But that's to old point. He doesn't need to be that dominant because he has people that can also be dominant with him. So if you don't have to do that, it's like we almost punishing him for being unselfish and being a team player when this is a team game.
I love Michael Jordan. To me, he will always be the number one player. But let's put it into perspective. Until Scottie got there, Mike didn't win any rings. So you need help.
He was a young...
He was a dog on defense. He was learning.
He was learning. He was adjusting.
But he would have never won it if Scottie never got
there. Yeah, somebody else would have got there.
But do you think Jordan would have won it?
Scottie's
a top 75 player.
Yeah.
Honestly, he might be a top 40 player in the league.
Top 25.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, like,
Scottie got six rings, too.
Put some respect on that man's name.
Nobody won it by themselves. Name one player that won it by themselves.
Nobody's really never won it by themselves.
Everybody at least had a Robin. Then they started going to three. So,
yeah. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lijay Duzubu, with my teammates Omar Kelly and Brandon Flowers. And we're discussing Steph Curry, potentially, if he wins the NBA Finals this year and wins MVP of the Finals, moving up into that thin air, that stratosphere of top 10 players.
Why is that important, too, by the way? I mean,
I think it's just a rite of passage, right? Like you want to be known as a top 10 player ever to play the game. Like
is it gonna change his post life career?
Nah, he'll be a Hall of Famer regardless.
Is he gonna be on TNT a little bit more often? No,
I think it's just transcending him to you always play the game to try to be the best ever.
100%.
So if you're cracking that top 10 and you continue to win championships, they might put you as the best player ever. You got to crack something to be the number one player. So I think that's it. That is what it's doing for him. It's putting him in a conversation to working his way to being the best ever.
You never know who'll step inside the green room with Danny Green.
One of the premier bus drivers of the 90s, one Mr. Charles Barkley.
Listen, Kevin Durant's a terrific player, but he had a chance to be the bus driver, and he's never won a championship when he wasn't one of the other guys. And I was just trying to make the point, hey, you don't get to make excuses when you don't win. That's just the way it is.
Listen, subscribe, and review Inside the Green Room with Danny Green on Stitcher, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
And the I Am Athlete Miami group, our teammates, sat down with one of the fastest receivers in NFL history, one of the best deep threat receivers in NFL history, DeSean Jackson. Be sure to catch that episode on Monday, 12 Eastern, on YouTube or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And he has some choice words about his former quarterback, Donovan McNabb. We're going to play you a little bit of that interview, and he got kind of spicy in this interview.
I got a special story. Like, Donovan, we cool, no beef, none of that. I'm not trying to clickbait on him and T.O. guy, but
yeah, I remember. But can you relate to T.O.?
Yeah, he can.
I don't want to talk about that. I'm talking about a situation that I got. Yeah, I don't speak for no other man with another man's situation. Whatever their issues is, their issues. My problem was, so Michael Vick was there. This the year when Michael Vick came in, and he was about to replace him.
Doing Wildcat stuff. He's only doing Wildcat stuff.
But the year after that is when they shipped, they trade him to Washington. Yep. So that year, that's when I made it for Pro Bowl. The first player in NFL history to make Pro Bowl
for
two positions.
Watch this story. Watch this.
Two positions. First player in NFL history to make Pro Bowl for
two positions. Okay, Jack.
You get what I'm saying? So when the ballots came out.
He just threw that in there.
Teammates, listen to this story, though.
When the ballots came out and they found out that I was the first player in NFL history to get elected to start in a Pro Bowl for two positions, my starting quarterback tells Michael Vick, like damn, I don't think he should have. I don't think he should have got that. He shouldn't have deserved that. Like, you telling another quarterback that your receiver,
as a receiver,
that he didn't deserve that.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, that was crazy, bro.
Did you ever?
I ain't never said nothing to him about it.
And he made you buy the tickets for the party.
For what?
Huh? He made you buy the tickets for his party.
Yeah, you feel
you
me?
Two? Yeah, that's going to cost you $25. an all-white party.
Who had an all-white party?
McNabb.
See, he was one of the most cheapest, richest motherfuckers you could know. He made you pay for everything.
Yeah.
I remember Hank Bass, another little story. Hank Basket, we had Hank the all-white party. You remember Hank Bass? We had the all-white party. Hank, I'm a rookie. Basket. You know how you got the little haze? He's like, yeah, we at the party. We about to go. You about to buy some bottles. I looked at him and said, I'm not buying no bottles for you. I know I'm a young street in L.A. I'm not buying shit.
I talk bad to him, D.J. But, man, that's crazy, right? You're a receiver, the number one receiver on your team. And the quarterback talking crazy about you behind your back, talking about you didn't deserve to be a Pro Bowler and start at two different positions. Well, when you think you got a good relationship with your quarterback, because obviously y'all, you know, connecting on the field because – You were voted into the Pro Bowl at two positions. So, B-Flow, Brandon Flowers, I want to throw this to you. Like, what would be your thought process if you heard one of your teammates, you know, talking behind your back in that manner? And then how would it be going forward, being in the locker room with him?
Man, first off, that's even crazy to hear because D-Jack's name spoke for itself since his rookie year in the 100%. League. Like, he's been explosive. So, Every accolade he got, he earned. You know, he was one of the most explosive receivers from the time he stepped in into the time he exited out.
Thanks.
But as D-Jack, knowing that, yo, if I'm going to the Pro Bowl, I'm making you look good, too, because you're throwing me the ball.
100%.
I'm your number one target. And you go come at me like that. I mean, for me, like, the trust goes out the window.
Yeah.
I can't trust you. And, bro, it hurt. Like, you know what I'm saying? It hurt. Like, I thought we supposed to have a bond. I do anything for you out here. Like, we had this connection. So as a player, I'm not saying for myself, but for some players, it can be like, hey, a receiver saying, I ain't running across the middle. I ain't getting hit for you, bro. Like, if you want me to run across the middle, I ain't doing that for you. Or it's a decoy route where you need me to clear something out for another receiver so you can get yours. Like, I'm not running hard until I'm getting the ball. So just those negative comments like that can start drama in a locker room. They can become a cancer, you know, because if somebody else like Shady hear that in a locker room, they both go start looking at me now. Like, it's crazy. So it can definitely cause division. And I can't believe a quarterback said that, because you know they're the ones that really watch what they say. They usually the most mature ones on the team, and they always gonna say the right thing. Yeah. So for a quarterback to say that, man, that can definitely start some friction in the locker room.
Yeah, B Flow, to me, it's a unique situation, because you know this, like the locker room is probably the most diverse work setting compared to any other work setting in all of the world, right? Yeah. Because you got people from different economic backgrounds, different religious backgrounds. They grew up in different parts of the country. And not everybody believes, you know, the same thing, right? Not everybody has faith in the same thing. Mm-hmm. But it's a unique place because everybody comes together with one common goal, right? So, like, I mean, I never really had any enemies on any team. I never really didn't get along with anybody. There's some people that I wasn't cool with, you know, but I was, you know, I never had no issues with them. So I couldn't imagine being DeSean Jackson and hearing somebody talking crazy about you, especially somebody that directly affects my money, right? Yeah. Because he's throwing me the football. But obviously, you know, they ended up shipping Donovan McNabb, I think, to Washington either a year later or 2 years later. So this guy still had to play with him. So I think it comes to a point when you're in a football locker room, because it's so diverse and different, like a lot of times you're not going to get along with everybody, but as long as everybody can be respectful, you know, and go out there knowing that we got one job in mind and that's to win a game. I think even though you might not look at that guy the same, you're like, well, you know, this is my teammate. This is all for work. Like, this is what it is. We ain't got the kumbaya, none of that. Let's just go out here and ball. Then we'll go our separate ways. And I want to bring in our teammate, Auntie Chantel. Have you ever heard of anything like this? Maybe, you know, while you're playing the WNBA, when a teammate was talking, you know, crazy about another teammate behind their back and then still had to work with that teammate.
Right. I do. But I'm going to let one of your producers, Anthony, come in, because he's telling us he want to say something really, really important.
Come on, Anthony, come in.
Hey, quick question. So I'm going to ask it both to you, Brandon, and to Auntie. Brandon, can an NFL team be successful if the quarterback and the number one receiver don't converse off the field? And to Auntie, same thing in the WNBA. Can a team be successful, win a championship, if the two star players don't converse?
I think they can be successful, because at the end of the day, it's a business. Like, you can absolutely hate your quarterback, you can hate your receiver, but when you get on the field, it's like, hey, let's go. We got to get this money. We got to make this work. We got to get this ring. So you can definitely not like somebody personally or in the locker room or beef with them, but when you get on the field, you know it's because it's bigger than you. At the end of the day, you go have 20 other boys in the locker room that you chill with, talk with, get in the sauna with, that you ain't gonna let your little personal beef that you have with someone bring the whole team down, you know? So I definitely feel like you can definitely beef with somebody and still make it work on the field.
And I look, y'all got 53 guys. That's a lot of testosterone in the locker room.
You're not gonna get along,
and there's no
everybody.
Way all 53 are gonna get along. There's no way on any of the, even the great Patriots team. I bet you Tom Brady didn't get along with everybody. Period. Oh, but with me, like, you know, I was a point guard, and if I would have said something about my center, you know, I mean, she was making me money. You know, I was making her money. There's just some things you don't say. And there's some things that you also handle inside the locker room, right? If I was DeSean, I would have went right to Donovan and been like, yo, what's up, bro? Like, you know, is this really how you feel? And get it squashed and then roll from there. A lot of times these guys come on social media and they try to, you know, right. It's beef nowadays and things like that. But, you know, championship teams, that part of what makes them championship teams is no matter what's going on off the court or off the field, they're going to handle their business on the field or on the court.
Yeah, 100%, Auntie. Again, and to what me and B Flow said earlier, like it's a business at the end of the day. Like, you go, you know, ask that man, hey, what's good? Like, I heard you know, some things about you. And again, you don't want like high school gossip, but you know, if you have an issue with me, you know, let me know now so I can see where we're at. But let's move forward amicably. We got a job to do at the end of the day. Right. I benefit you. You benefit me. Neither one of us are going to get paid unless we're both balling. So, yeah, we ain't got to be best friends, but I got a job to do. You got a job to do. Let's go out here and do it.
Yeah, because let's not be crazy. It do be plenty of fights behind those doors, 100%. But it just stay there. So it be plenty of disagreements. Anthony, I'm talking to the winners and producers right now. It be a lot of stuff going on behind doors. But absolutely. Like you said, the great teams, they know how to put that behind them. Like, hey, y'all both got that off y'all chest. Now let's go out here and play ball. So you can definitely beef with somebody and not get along with somebody, but definitely go win games.
Yeah, this is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lee J. Doolzible, with my teammates, Auntie Chantel and Brandon Flowers, and we were talking about DeSean Jackson, who our teammates on I Am Athlete Miami had the privilege to sit down with and talk to. He had some choice words for Donovan McNabb because he heard he was talking about him behind his back when he was the first player in NFL history to be voted in as a Pro Bowler at two positions, returner and receiver. So we shift from DeSean Jackson to another football story. Deuce Daly, who is now the running backs coach for the Detroit Lions. He used to be a running back for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Damn, he tells
DeAndre Swift, who was the running back they took in the second round from Georgia a few years ago, that he needs to play through injuries. Now, this is a message that Deuce Daly had to DeAndre Swift, you know, a few weeks ago. He said that, you know, he's got to be a little bit tougher and he's got to be able to play through some injuries. Now, I don't know if he misconstrued his words, Brandon Flowers, because we know there's a difference between being injured and being hurt. Like, you can play through being hurt and you can play through being injured, but you shouldn't play through being injured, because if you're injured and you continue to go out there and play, there's a chance that you can get more injured, right? But if you're hurt, you can fight through some of that. But this is exactly what Staley said on the about DeAndre Swift.
Staying healthy would definitely be the challenge. And, you know, injuries happen. Injuries happen. And one of the things that Swift and I had a conversation about is you got to be able to play through some of these as a running back. You know, we all know there's a difference in being injured and hurt. As soon as you step in this building as a running back, day one of training camp, you're not going to feel the same. So there are going to be some things he's going to have to fight through, and he's going to have to work through that. So we had those conversations.
Yeah, and again, those were choice words. I'm not sure if he meant like playing through being hurt or injured, because there was times, you know, in my career where I did play when I was actually injured, or I definitely played through everything when I was hurt because I knew, you know, my teammates were dependent on me. And also, like, I wanted to go out there and play because I put in all that work during the week, during the offseason, to be able to play this game at a high level. So if I'm, you know, banged up a little bit, that's not going to stop me from getting out there and playing the game I love and going out there and competing. But I think that is the issue with, the NFL and what's been an issue for a long time, because players have been playing through injuries and not just being hurt. And later on, they have, you know, cognitive issues down the road. And, you know, you want to be able to, and we talked about this before, B-Flow, be able to play with your kids when you get older, right? Be able to have all your functioning limbs when you walk away from the game. You don't want to leave the game and be in a wheelchair at 45, 50 years old. And we've seen so many guys be affected because of the game of football. So again, I don't know if Deuce Staley meant play exactly through injuries. That's the word he used. He could have meant hurt. I hope he meant hurt.
I hope so too. And, yeah. I'm a short term that for you. We want to play through our contract.
Exactly.
Because if you get out there and you playing hurt and you're a running back and you don't look explosive and you looking like the fans don't never know we're hurt. Right.
Exactly.
So they just go see you out there with no production. The fans go be on your head. The coaches go have amnesia and forget that you're hurt.
It's right? Funny how that works,
yeah,
right?
General manager will come to you. Hey, Swift dog, I don't know you, right? You're not too Swift out there right now. Right. We're going to replace you. We're going to bring in a young guy. You're like, bro, you know I'm playing on one leg out here.
Right. So you can play. You can play on a sprained ankle. You can't play on a fractured ankle.
Exactly.
I wonder if it was a sprained ankle or a fractured ankle that caused, you know, Brandon to run that slow ass 4.5 5.40 when he got into the league. But I'm just messing with you, nephew. But there have been times that I played hurt, and there's been times where I was injured, and you taking this to the public again, like, Deuce, talk to him and get things taken care of. Cause then you have that whole Bruce Arians, Antonio Brown, you know, am I hurt and walking off the field and things like that. So there's a lot of things y'all football players be some babies sometimes. I promise you. And then just be coming out and talking all on the
interview. A lot of guys play when they actually injured too, though.
Right. Right. You're right. You're right. Y'all some tough ones, but there's some of them out there that can be some babies. Two, three out of that 55.
If you not go hurt the team, if you can tough it out and you ain't gonna go hurt the team and yourself worse, like you said, you not go fracture your whole knee because you're going out, go ahead and play.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
If something that you can get through it. But if you feel like, yo, I'm gonna hurt the team, I can't even move out here.
Exactly.
Then you gotta say, coach, chill. Yeah. Like, that's why we have backups.
And then the perfect example, we talked about this off camera, B-Flow, is Baker Mayfield. Like, they everybody knew he had a messed up, a really messed up shoulder. Had to get surgery before the season even ended. And he went out there and tried to play on it to tough it out for the team, right? And look what happened, right?
Yeah, everybody forgot about he was hurt.
We're going to bring somebody in that we think is better than you, knowing that the year before, this man took this team to the playoff and in the second round of the playoffs, right, was very efficient during that playoff, you know, on their way through the playoffs and when they got into the playoffs. So it's like you said, Brandon Flowers, like it seems like people upstairs, the GMs and everybody, they have short-term memory when you go out there and play hurt. So that's why I try to tell people all the time, if you're truly injured, do not go out there, because all they're going to do is like my man Beefo said, yeah, Mr. Swift, you don't seem as swift as you used to be. So we're going to go ahead and, you know, go ahead and release you. Or matter of fact, we need some of that money back that we gave
exactly.
You. So like, right. Nah, this is a business at the end of the day. Deuce Staley, you played it. So again, I hope you meant hurt and not injured, because if a player is truly hurt, and to Beefo's point, he's going to hurt himself by going out there, or hurt the team by going out there. He shouldn't try to tough through that and play at all.
Want more I Am Athlete tonight? This your boy B. Marshall. If so, you can get a new episode every night by subscribing to the main I Am Athlete Tonight podcast feed. We're on Mad Dog Sports Radio every weeknight, 7 and 9 Eastern. However, if you can't catch us live or you just want to hear the show again, you can always catch us on Apple or Stitcher or however you get your podcasts. I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. You.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
In the California Road Trip Republic, we believe you take adventure for a ride. Whether coastal cruising, mountain motoring, or redwood roaming, discover beauty around every turn. Your California road trip can kick off from anywhere.
Starting route.
But it should always start at visitcalifornia.com. Then buckle up, crank those tunes, and ride with us in the California Road Trip Republic.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.